How that God in his wisdom would choose to use a baby to change the world. Isn't that amazing? Would choose that on a beautiful night to give hope to this world. To give hope to those in such need. Through all those years, they look forward to the birth, to the birth. This is a little song, and if you sleep through this one, you better check your pulse afterwards, and we will. But I tell you, I love the way Terry does it. So the title is.
The title is "Let's Make a Baby King." It's by Jesse Winchester, and I love what Charlie just said to help set this up. I love the feel good hymns and carols of the season. This isn't one of those songs. The lyrics here are very significant, and I've developed a very special relationship with this song over the years as I've really tried to unpack it. And it talks about the dark that comes with the light and how Mary will witness what she will witness one day as her son fulfills his destiny. And it also alludes to the prophecies about Jesus and the good news, the message that he brings. And finally, it begs the question, what do we do from here? We're going to start with making this baby our king.
Once upon a Christmas morning, there was a pretty little baby boy. It seems that I remember sadness mingling in the joy. Mary saw the future and the sadness it would bring. And that's why Mary started crying when she heard the angel sing, "Let's make a baby. Let's make him Lord of all. Let's give him everything. Oh yeah, let's make a baby king." Now you remember little King David. He's the little baby's king. He's a cousin to a man named John. And I know you all remember him. John said, "Let's get ready." The herald angels say, "'Cause this old world sure needs to know the good news that I bring. Let's make a baby king. Let's make him Lord of all. Let's give him everything. Hey, let's make a baby king." What do you say, Terry Lee? Turned upside down. Oh, we need a new direction. We got to turn this whole thing around. I said we need a Lord to guide us and teach us wrong from right. We need a Lamb to lead us into the land of light. Let's make a baby king. Let's make him Lord of all. Give him everything. Oh yeah, let's make a baby king. Let's give him everything. let's make a baby. Say, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. What a joy to share. What a joy to share. Terry, you did wonderful. Let's hear it for the Pips. Kevin, come on up here, please, sir. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 17th verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creation, You know, this time of year, you always hear, out with the old, in with the new, right? Over at Tivoli. I'm not talking about you, really. Younger than I am. Amen. Over at work there, all the trash dumpsters are a little more full this time of year because people are getting rid of things. I'm amazed at how God makes a change in people's lives. I know that people are dealing with things and their challenges, but I'm here to tell you, God makes a change. This book that I have open in front of me, this is not a self-help book, although people want to make it that. People want to go, well, if you live, you'll do that. This is a God help book. Because the things that I'm challenged with, and I know the things that you're challenged with so many times, the only way a difference can be made is when God steps in, takes an old thing and makes it new. He took away my sins, made me a new creation. And I am so glad that He is still working on that creation. This week I was over in one of the basements over there, and you know how you got to do your New Year's thing. You got to clean up, right? Yesterday, what'd y'all do? You cleaned up a room over there, Anna Marie, and just, you know. Wayne, you might not recognize the place when you get back up there because Anna Marie, they're up there cleaning. So, Wayne, prepare yourself, Wayne. I was cleaning out this storage, and it was funny because there were some things that I found that, I got to keep that. Got to hold on to it. Man, I got to keep that, you know. And the other things that I found, I got to get rid of that. I just got to get rid of it, you know, like that. Just got to go. But at the same time, something happened that I didn't quite expect to happen. I started to take a little trip down memory lane. I saw things and, wow, it brought back such memories. If you want to focus on something this upcoming year, focus on what God wants you to retain, what He wants you to hold on to, what He wants you to just stand upon. In that book that I have opened, there are so many wonderful, wonderful promises of God that you can just stand upon and just say, God, I believe in the firm foundation that you have given me. That's what you stand on. That's what you retain. And then there's some things you just got to release. We all got those things. I got a list up here somewhere. It's in... I do have notes. The one I was going to read just fell down through there, I think. No, here we go. Time Magazine. Number one, lose weight, get fit. Number two, quit smoking, learn something new, eat healthy and diet, get out of debt, save money, spend more time with family and friends, travel to new places, be less stressed, volunteer more, drink less. They give you all these wonderful things. These are things that are most popular New Year's resolutions. I'm here to tell you, the best New Year's resolution that you can have is let God do it. Let God be more within you, working for His glory. I believe there are things that you need to retain, and then there are things that you need to release. Just let go. Maybe things personally in your life, maybe a situation, maybe individuals. Sometimes God just wants us to move in a little different circle. But then also, I thank God, if you want to move together for a New Year's resolution and change things in your life, I think there are things that need to be remembered. There are things that God has done. There are miracles that He has performed. And even in this year alone, I have seen God move in people's lives. And I have seen people who've drawn closer unto Him. One of the Christmas cards I received was so precious because it said, "Pastor, I believe in this year in attending your church that I have grown closer to God." How's that make you feel? How's that make you feel? Claudia is not here today, and I'm going to pick on her, so you can tell her next week that I picked on her. She sent me a text, and she had the privilege last week of when Brad and Terry came in, they sat in the pew with, and she says, "Oh my goodness." She says, "When they get up and sing," and that Terry, she just sings, and she says, "I feel like I'm back in my old dancing days," you know, like that, when she's singing and up like that. She says, "But you know what? I can't remember their first names." And I just was, you know how you do this church thing? "Well, brother or sister, we're going to see you, brother or sister." She says, "I felt so terrible." So I sent her back some false names. Probably is why she's not here in church today. God knows your name. God knows the condition of your heart. God knows without a shadow of a doubt where you stand with Him. This is a place to come in, to be willing to be filled with the joy of the Lord, to share one with another the burdens, and also to share the joy of what He is doing in our lives. Over the years, and I don't know how many years we've been singing this thing now, Kevin, but we're trying to get it right. It's a song that's meant so much to me personally, and I kind of want to finish the service today with doing a lighthouse. When Rich Gillies was here, he and Barbara had a wonderful love for lighthouses. Rich would tell me, he said, "Because that light shining in the darkness brought hope to many a sailor as they were simply trying to find their way home." Find their way home. So as you leave here today, and I know you've got exciting things. I know you've had a marvelous time in Christmas. We've had such a joyous Christmas here at Mount Calvary, and I trust that God has blessed you and your families or your friends, whomever you've spent it with. I hope that you look forward to the great thing that God is going to do in the future. And you kind of dedicate yourself to hold on to certain things, release certain things, and most of all, to remember what God has done. The lighthouse, come on, brother.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead a soul. If it wasn't for the my ship would sail no more.
Now everybody that lives around us says, tear that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. It was the light from that old lighthouse that stands upon the hill.
And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him because Jesus is a lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is a lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse,
if it wasn't for the lighthouse,
if it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be?
Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Stand your feet and come along with us.